I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores.
So I've been struggling lately with the phrase, I used to.
I can't say that I've slowed down. I think I'm just more careful.
Well, throughout this journey, I've had to battle my fears.
Has my relationship with my body changed as you've grown older? Yeah, of course. I mean, I think everybody's relationship with their body changes.
A mile in the woods by myself and making it back to the car? Oh my God, I was in heaven.
So I've accepted a new normal, and that still offers me plenty of outdoor experiences to pursue, which ultimately makes me the happiest.
In this episode, you'll hear the voices of hikers and campers and climbers. Some are seeing the world, others are embracing their backyards. Many are mothers whose children's lives have shaped their own outdoor experiences. Their stories contain a great deal of overlap, the most notable being that they're all aged 50 or older, save the rogue 49-year-old contributor. At the urging of several emails and a nudge from Joanne Hickey, I decided to devote a whole episode to stories from women over 50.
My inspiration for asking for a podcast about older women and my, quote, average women was a lot of the people on the podcast seem to be extraordinary athletes, long-distance trail hikers, marathon runners, and I don't consider myself extraordinary, just ordinary. Thank you for this podcast. I look forward to hearing others' experiences.
Let's push forward to the stories then. Just one item to note. While I can't be sure of the backgrounds of all the women I heard from, my sense was that I didn't hear from many, if any, women of color. That said, I'd love to hear from you in the future, and I'm honored to be highlighting the wisdom and experience of these women in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. These are voices that we don't hear as often in our youth-obsessed culture. There are a lot of stereotypes associated with getting older, being inactive, aches and pains, fear of continuing to experience the things that you love. Women of a certain age in our culture fade from movie screens. It's not that their voices aren't as loud, it's that we're not as willing to hear them. I can only hope to be as intrepid as I move through my life as the women you'll hear in this episode. And Joanne, I found all the stories I could squeeze in to be extraordinary for their willingness to share, try new things, and encourage others to do the same. These are the women we are, the women we want to be, our mothers and our aunts and our sisters and our neighbors.
Has your relationship with the outdoors in general changed shape since I turned 50? My answer is a big yes. It changed 180 degrees or 360 degrees or whatever the amount of degrees it could change to be the most change. On my 50th birthday, I made sure I was in the Adirondacks climbing a high peak with family and good friends and celebrating being out in the Adirondacks. It was very, very important to me. I set the intention on my 50th birthday to become more active and get back into that life that I loved. Now I'm 54, and I just completed a five-month trip on the road where my husband and I were hiking constantly. It was wake up and what are we going to do today? How much outside time can we spend? So I'd say the last couple years, it's taken me a while to get to that point, to have my health, my physical health, and the intention of being outside and hiking put first in my life. I ran a small business for 20 years and everybody else came first. The business had to be a success. It was a success. I finally reached a point where I just was overwhelmed with the fact that I was putting everyone else in my life first, except for what I needed to fill me up, which is to be outside and to be on a trail and figuring out my life. Now being 54, I'm seeing how quickly these years are flowing by. And the only way that I can be a good friend and the best wife and a good partner and there for my family is if I take care of myself first. So when I set my intentions in January, the first thing I thought of was be outside and be healthy and be on a trail. That's what matters most in my life now. I don't have to orchestrate it. I don't have to be the person that fixes it. I just have to take care of myself. Being on a hiking trail, being in the woods, and listening to the inside voices that I can hear really clearly now at 54, it took me a long time to realize that I've got to put myself first.
Since turning 50, I noticed the little things. I've been active outdoors for 20 years, on a bike or in running shoes. While training with others on the road or trail, I felt speed was more important than stopping to admire the view. Now serious training is no longer my priority. Good health, both physical and mental, is. The outdoors provides me with opportunities to observe the wood chips on the ground left by a woodpecker, tiny toads, the first blooms of spring flowers, or snow piled up on a tree stump that looks like an elf's hat. These small wonders bring more joy than any racing success. I look forward to a deepening relationship with the outdoors. I hope to remain respectful of its offerings and to share it with others.
To ask about my relationship with the outdoors having changed shape since turning 50, it really hasn't exactly. It started changing when I was about 45. And I started rock climbing with my daughter, who was about 20. Since then, started rock climbing, ran a half marathon, started running on trails more, did a Tough Mudder, did a Ragnar Trail race, and when I turned 50, I organized a personal triathlon that some very good friends did with me. Running 10 miles at midnight on my birthday, get up, ride my bike 15 miles, and then go to the gym because we didn't want to worry about weather, and did 25 pitches at the gym. So in a way, I've used the outdoors to help me with my relationship with my age and my body and the things that I can do and that I maybe I can't do.
I'm 52 and an avid hiker who didn't start hiking until I was 38 years old. Having hiked all 46 Adirondack high peaks and backpacked the 72-mile Ocala National Trail, the 92-mile Wonderland Trail, 53-mile West Coast Trail, in addition to many day hikes in Shenandoah National Park and across the country, I can tell you that my age hasn't diminished my enthusiasm for hiking. It has changed my approach. I realize as I age that hiking isn't an optional activity that I like to do when I get the chance. It's a lifestyle that I've consciously chosen to feed my spiritual, emotional, and physical health. As I've aged, I've also realized that carrying too much weight or hiking too far, or too much elevation gain a day makes the hike less enjoyable. I have an 8 to 10 mile per day comfort zone while overnighting. I will do a longer day or two, but not consistently. In terms of weight, I've invested heavily, pun intended, in lightweight gear so I can hike week-long trips while keeping my pack weight under 35 pounds. I find as I age, I'm even more grateful to my body for getting me up mountains and safely home again, a feat I don't take lightly. I used to just walk around my neighborhood for exercise when I wasn't hiking. Now I spend regular time in the gym, recognizing that maintaining my muscles, especially my core, are key to a good and injury-free hiking experience.
That was Liz Wise, and her memo is the perfect transition to talk of how one's relationship with their body may change over time. Jean Drummond articulates this well. She lives and works as an acupuncturist in Mammoth, California.
So my lifelong love of the outdoors and desire to be outside has not changed. However, my body has. In my mind, I'm 29. I think I can do anything at any time. But my 59-year-old body says otherwise. Everything hurts more. Discomfort and pain from years of wear and tear, on my knees, on my shoulders, on my back, and other body parts has slowed me down a little bit. But I certainly got a reality check this summer when I signed up for a 4-day backpacking trip in Yosemite. I wanted so badly to get outside for an adventure since I hadn't backpacked in about almost 8 years. So my young mind told me, you can get in shape in 3 weeks. But when I did the training hikes and added more and more weight to my back, my body kind of rebelled and my back seized up. So I had forgotten that just a year earlier, I was in the ER with severe back pain from a herniated disc and had been plagued with back pain on and off ever since. So needless to say, I had to pull out of the trip and I was super disappointed in myself. But lesson learned, there's a big difference between hiking and backpacking. I was unrealistic to think that I could get in backpacking shape in 3 weeks. Well, that was my younger mind taking over, but my body not cooperating. And now the doubt creeps in that I'll never be able to do some of the things that I wanted to. So I've been struggling lately with the phrase, I used to hike 10 to 15 miles easily. I used to barrel down the hills on my mountain bikes. So it's a little bit of a frustration that my mind is thinking that I can't do things anymore. So I've accepted a new mantra. So it's a new normal. What was normal when I was younger is different now. And my new normal allows me still to do lots of things, but I have to work a little harder and do it a little slower. So what I'm finding is that my new normal actually has been a benefit. I feel more connected to nature now than ever because I've learned to slow down and really engage my senses. So you go a little slower, but you get to stop and smell the roses and see and feel things that maybe you didn't notice before. And since hiking is my favorite form of exercise, I used to power hike. I would just barrel up the hills and see how fast I could hike a trail. But in doing this, you tend to miss a lot of details. So now I go out with intention and enjoy my surroundings. And since I'm a photographer, having a camera in my hand is forcing me to slow down, to observe. And I've been getting way more incredible pictures. So living in the Sierras and in my profession, I've met and been inspired by many older women who are still out there hiking, biking, backpacking, and doing what they love. And I've always wanted to know their secret. And as I've aged, I think I might know the secret. Never stop moving. The most important thing for an aging body is keeping fit. These women I've met are being active every day, doing some kind of movement exercise. For me, I've realized that walking and hiking is not enough now to stay strong. I really need some strength training to keep my muscles and bones strong so I can put a backpack on again. And when I turned 50, I was in my best shape ever because I trained all year to climb Mount Whitney. Since I will be 60 this year, I really want to find a big goal to train for. And that will push me and motivate me to get in incredible shape again. So I've accepted a new normal, and that still offers me plenty of outdoor experiences to pursue, which ultimately makes me the happiest.
Has my relationship with my body changed as you've grown older? Yeah, of course. I mean, I think everybody's relationship with their body changes. If you want to know how my relationship with my body has changed as I've grown older, that's certainly a bigger question with a lot more answers having to do with, you know, what can you do? What can't you do? If you start rock climbing at 45 and rock climb with a bunch of 25-year-olds and 35-year-olds, well, then, you know, how much should you push yourself? Is it appropriate to keep pushing yourself? Is it pointless to keep pushing yourself? And yet, if you don't keep pushing yourself, then what are you doing? It's a weird balance, and, you know, your body changes. Anyway, that's a much longer, it would take way more than 4 minutes.
Hi, I'm Rose. I'm 52, and I get out in nature as much as possible. I hike, I do yoga, mountain bike, and mostly I surf the waves in a little SoCal beach town with my husband and a great group of friends. So to answer this question, has your relationship with your body changed as I've grown older? Yes, I love my body way better now. Back in my 20s, I was strong, but I didn't give myself much credit for my healthy body. Now, I never take advantage of it. Yes, I take care of a few extra cricks and creeks, but I love that my strong body takes me surfing in the blue waves, mountain biking, hiking through tree-trimmed trails, and out and about in the beautiful nature we've all been blessed with. I'm happy, healthy, strong, and loving it.
So Rose has found strength. Here's Joanne Hickey, who you heard at the beginning of this episode.
I'm sore more often than not. After a particularly long hike, we try to do at least 5 miles every weekend and interspersed with shorter hikes during the week before work whenever I can grab an opportunity. I also would say that at 62, lots of gray hair, trekking with two poles, I feel less vulnerable when I meet a man alone on the trail because I don't feel like a target. It's a sad thing to state, but it does make me feel safer. I carry those trekking poles because I'm very cognizant of the fact that I could twist an ankle, so they give me plenty of steadiness, but I also feel that I could use them if I needed to defend myself from a dog or unwanted attention from another human being. So that's a concession that I've made for my age, is I hike always with two trekking poles, and I always hike with a backpack. Even if I'm just going a mile near home, I carry water, I carry a snack, I carry extra clothing, and if it's a really remote location, I even carry an extra sleeping bag, even if it's a cheap old sleeping bag. If I had to spend the night, I'd prefer to have that comfort.
Being in my 50s and hiking on a trail, I feel strong, I feel alive, I feel happy, I feel sore, but I'm getting my body back into shape. Menopause has, stretched me, made me soft, built up a lot of inflammation, moody, anxiety, all kinds of things. And now I'm dealing and learning how to cope with those. And I always feel better when I'm on the trail.
We'll hear about transitions and children getting older after a word from our sponsor, Health IQ. This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people like hikers, runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and more. What Health IQ is doing, it makes so much sense. Health IQ customers can save up to 33% on their life insurance for living a health-conscious lifestyle. It's pretty cool that spending time outside not only benefits our mental and physical health, it can also result in paying less for life insurance. And you can even save if you have a pre-existing condition, because managing and overcoming a chronic illness is really hard work. I love that Health IQ is a life insurance agency that takes a big picture approach to insurance. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/SheExplores or mention the promo code SheExplores. That's SheExplores with no space when you talk to a Health IQ agent. That's healthiq.com/SheExplores.
Hi, I'm leaving a voicemail regarding the prompt for women over 50 and outdoors experiences. My name is Trisha, and I am 53 years old. I've always been an active person my entire life. However, a recent event, the past 7 years, I've rebuilt my life from a very horrible, horrible divorce and becoming a single person. And after 30 plus years of marriage and being in partnerships, and have made a choice to become a solo person, live a more independent life, and maintaining my outdoors life includes now that I am dedicated to a 52 hike challenge this next year, and mainly going to be attempting solo hiking.
I'm 49 years old. I'll be 50 this year in May. And when I look back at what I've accomplished in the last 5 years since my divorce, I am so proud of the woman I'm still becoming. I've realized that you don't just get there. You don't become a woman and all of a sudden everything kind of falls into place. It's a work in progress. It's a day by day, sometimes an hour by hour. But I'm becoming, and I'm really proud of that. When I was 44, I left a nearly 20-year marriage. My husband was an addict, emotionally abusive, and I stayed because I thought it was the right thing to do. Our trips into the outdoors were once a year, into the Adirondacks for a 2 or 3 night backpack. And even though I filled my days with hiking or mountain biking or snowshoeing around the property of our 11 acres, I always felt like going into the Adirondacks was a trip that only could be planned and done by a man, right? He knew what to do. He knew how to cook the meals out there. He knew how to find the trails and map out routes. And I was along for the ride. So it was one of our times that we were going in. We were supposed to be in through a 3-night backpack, and I was all excited. We had 2 kids by then. They were young. We had babysitters. We had planned it, and I could just let myself go. I could just be. And as we're hiking in, he turns to me and says, "We're only staying for 1 night." And he turned around and he started hiking back, and I remember just crying. You know, I wanted to be there so badly. And yet, I couldn't stay without him, I thought. So, we got divorced, and I didn't have my kids every other weekend, and that is heartbreaking in itself. But I knew at a really deep level that nature could heal me. It was something that I'd always turned to growing up. I had grown up in a house of addicts, and I would go outdoors. I named trees. I visited them. I fed them. I made friends with the ducks, fed their babies, had them crawl around my lap. I'd listen to waterfalls. I'd count waterfalls. I would stay outside for as long as I could just so I didn't have to go back indoors. And if I did go indoors, then I just read. So I knew nature could help me. But I was scared as shit to figure out how to do it on my own. So I started small. I had a lab named Ollie that would hike with me. And I'd map out routes on my computer, you know, a mile here and a mile back. And a mile in the woods by myself and making it back to the car. Oh my God, I was in heaven. So then I started doing longer routes. And then winter came, and I thought, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be safe in the winter. And I read books, and I read blogs, and I started volunteering with this group called Lean-To Rescues that rescues lean-tos in the Adirondack Park. And I asked them, and next thing you know, I'm hiking in the winter, and I'm hiking by myself. That was 5 years ago, and since then I've hiked, gosh, 2,000 miles on my own. I've traveled by myself to go hiking. I went to Dominica. I went to the world's second largest boiling lake. I hired a guide and went into the jungle through the Valley of Death, and it was awesome. I am, again, so proud of myself. It's healed me, the outdoors, and I can't believe I'm going to be 50 this year, and I get to continue doing this. I can't wait to see what I do next, and I can't wait to find more people to do it with.
My name is Helen Wallace, and I live in a lovely seaside town in Victoria, Australia. I don't think turning 50 changed my love of the outdoors, but what turning the age of 50 did was to give me more free time. I am now 66 years of age. I've always loved being outdoors. I used to play a lot of golf in my younger days, as well as tennis and numerous other outdoor sports. The year I was about to turn 60, I was given a redundancy in my job. I was lost, not knowing how to define myself, who I was, what I was going to do with my life. I think I sat on a couch for a few months in a bit of a depressed state. One day, I stood up and said to myself, there's got to be more to life. And for me, there was. I was inspired by a movie to walk the 800 kilometres Spanish Camino. So I bought a backpack, put way too much in it, and walked across Spain on my own. Since then, I have been so lucky to walk a section of the Via Francigena in Italy, the Scottish West Highland Way, and followed up by the coast to coast across England. A few months ago, I walked the Portuguese Camino and the English Camino. Even though when my redundancy happened and I was extremely upset, I was so grateful it happened because a giant door of life has opened up for me and I'm very grateful. When I first started to walk, I joined a local hiking meetup group to see if I would like it. And yes, I did like hiking. I liked it a lot. When I was asked to do a talk at a Rotary Club several years ago about my Camino experience, the very next morning I had a phone call from one of the members' wives. She said she wished she could do something like that. After a long conversation, we planned to meet up and do a local walk together. She thought 2 kilometres might be her limit. 4 years later, she has walked Caminos with me, Scotland, and at present walking around the bay in which we live. I also started a walking group with the Rotary Club, and members would come out on a walk once a month. On 2 occasions, we had 12 members doing 30 Ks in a day for a fundraiser. All were over 60, and one was even 72 years of age. I love being connected to Instagram, Facebook, and podcasts, groups of hikers who inspire me. I just love it when somebody says to me, "Let's go for a walk."
I've heard it can be tough when children grow older and leave home, but grown children can both free up time and also serve as an impetus to get outside.
When I had children, I dreamed of showing them the beauty around us, from our rural mountain home to the ocean and our national parks. My daughters developed a love for nature and a desire to protect our resources. As a family, we explored forests, swam in rivers, backpacked through the mountains, built forts and grew gardens, climbed trees, and jumped the ocean waves. My experiences have become more precious as my girls became adults and went on to have their own adventures. I love hearing stories of the places they have seen, and we make plans for new adventures together. To see our world through the eyes of another generation is the greatest gift, whether it is stories from our ancestors or tales shared over a meal with our children. They tell me of the ocean I haven't seen yet, of the desert sands I will someday feel, of foreign lands with new foods and sounds and cultures, and I look forward to experiencing it all alongside them. I'm grateful for the ways they are a positive force in their own circles, educating others and working for a safe and accessible natural world for all. And I'm thankful every day for the ways they have increased my world.
My name is Cheryl, and I describe myself as a walker. All of my 40s and into my 50s, I've walked 3 times a week on the safe flatland. I say safe and flatland because I'm also very afraid of heights, to the point that it paralyzes me. I also have a bum knee and need to be careful of that at times. So hiking wasn't really something I envisioned for myself. It wasn't until my mid-50s when my grown daughter invited me out to join her and her boyfriend for a section of the Appalachian Trail that I even considered backpacking, let alone becoming a hiker. That's what launched my love for hiking and getting outdoors. To prepare for that epic trip, I got a friend, Arlene, and she said she wanted to join me, so we began training. And that meant that we had headed out to the Olympic Mountains, and we made a lot of day hikes. And then we planned to try an overnight. So we loaded up our backpacks, as much weight as we could, and we headed out. We had to slog through blowdowns and over redirected trails because a river had washed out the trail. And we went up the trail and finally came to a big boulder and decided we'd gone far enough and camped behind the boulder, which probably wasn't something we should have done, but we did. And we kind of decided that we were ready. Well, really, nothing could have prepared us for the 6 days that we spent out on the Appalachian Trail with Lindsay and Kyle. We really didn't have a clue. The first thing Lindsay did when we got there was to go through our backpacks and get rid of anything that was extra weight. Well, both Arlene and I had the exact same small mirror that we were convinced we needed. We had to sadly watch it go into the duffel of unnecessaries. We spent 6 days in the 95-degree temperature, 100-degree humidity trail of the Appalachians, and it was something I will never forget. We learned that you don't need very much. You can go light. Always have duct tape because something's going to need patching. And to get a good pair of boots. I lost two of my toenails. Mosquito nets are a must, and to drink lots of water. And I also learned that I love camping out on the trail. When I got back from the East Coast, I sent out an email to anyone I knew who liked the outdoors and asked if they wanted to start hiking with me. And from that, a hiking group was formed. We have explored for 4 years the Olympics, Mount Rainier, the Cascades, Mount Baker, Capitol Forest, the Washington coast. And one of my more experienced friends took me up Mount St. Helens twice, once on an overnight at Treeline in the snow with Lindsay and Kyle. And that was a trip I will never forget. Four of us, my friends, decided to hike the Wonderland Trail, and we named ourselves the Wonder Women, and that started a tradition of backpacking every summer. And our last adventure took us to the Southwest, where we combined car camping and backpacking. Well, throughout this journey, I've had to battle my fears. I have that fear of heights. It's my biggest fear. My friends and my kids are very supportive, and they're long-suffering. When I start on a trail, I just complain the whole time, and I groan that I just know that there's going to be a drop-off somewhere, and I can envision it, the worst-case scenario every time. Sometimes I'll get to that spot and park myself at a safe distance and just sit it out and enjoy the views that I do see. And other times when I have to go along a place that really freaks me out, I'll just grab onto the back of my friend's backpack and let her lead me. I'll just look at my feet and get until I'm past it. In all my hiking, I still haven't conquered that fear, but I'm determined to get out there and do what I can because I absolutely love being in the outdoors.
I'm Lisa. I live in Indiana, and I'm 53 years old. Turning 50 hasn't really changed my love for being outside. We have 3 grown daughters, and we have 3 grandchildren. Everything's still the same. We continue to, when we're together, find a place to take a hike or... We used to camp quite a bit. We don't camp quite as much. We're all spread out pretty far. But we all love the parks. And now that the grandkids are getting older, we take bike rides with them and walks to the park. It just brings me such peace to be outside, to hear the birds or to dig in the ground and to see, you know, my garden grow, flowers grow. Just to see the changes that life goes through and how we can relate those as well to nature and the spring bringing new growth, watching everything turn green, and then it goes back into hibernation.
We'll hear more stories after a word from our sponsor, Deuter. This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Deuter. They believe that your gear should enhance your time in the outdoors, which is why they've been making technical packs German-engineered since 1898 for comfort, fit, and ventilation. And speaking of ventilation, next month Deuter launches their newly redesigned Futura Series pack. Did you know that decades ago, Deuter was the first one to launch a mesh back system that keeps your pack off your back? It's a priceless feature for staying dry, safe, and comfortable on hikes. Back sweat is all too real, no matter the season. And make sure to follow Deuter on social media, because this spring they're launching a hashtag MyDeuterAdventure campaign, where you can enter to win a trip to join representatives from 6 or 7 nations for 7 days of adventure in Germany, where Deuter is headquartered. All you have to do is share your hiking photos, and I know you have them. I think it would be incredible to experience the outdoors of a foreign country with new friends from all over the world. Stay equipped for a life of adventure with a durable, comfortably crafted Deuter pack. Find your perfect fit at www.deuter.com. That's www.deuter.com. For some, experiencing the outdoors didn't happen until after 50.
I'm Gail Story, author of I Promise Not to Suffer, A Fool for Love Hikes the Pacific Crest Trail, which won the National Outdoor Book Award and several others and was published by Mountaineers Books. My relationship with the outdoors didn't really begin until I turned 50, 53 to be exact, when my husband and I biked on our tandem from Houston, Texas, to the northern terminus of the Appalachian Trail. Then 2 years later, we biked on our tandem from Texas to the southern terminus of the Pacific Crest Trail. And a year later, when I was 57, we hiked the Pacific Crest Trail from the border of Mexico to Canada. I had never hiked or camped before. I guess that's why the first line of my book, I Promise Not to Suffer, is, I never much cared for nature, or rather thought it okay as long as it stayed outside. But our marriage and our whole life really was transformed by that through hike at the Pacific Crest Trail. We moved from Houston, Texas to Boulder, Colorado, so that we could have a more organic outdoor lifestyle, hiking, biking, etc. Then in my 60s, all hell broke loose with my body over the last 10 years. I'm 70 now. I've had a succession of athletic injuries, particularly spinal catastrophes, and have recovered. But these things are exactly what I needed to transform even further and to deepen my relationship with the outdoors. Now, what's happening to me now that I've turned 70, is this kind of luxurious slowing down of my pace, even my hiking pace, to an unfathomable peace and quiet and stillness that is at once vibrant and very alive.
Lori used her 60th birthday as a milestone.
During my 50s, I became a bit sedentary. Those were my menopause years. And I realized during a hike in Death Valley a month before my 59th birthday that I needed to change something drastically. So I decided to hike my way to 60. 60 hikes to 60 was the goal. I named it my 60-60 journey. In less than 5 months, I completed the goal of 60 hikes and decided to up the goal. Okay, actually triple the goal to 180 hikes by 60 years. That number became a metaphor for a 180-degree turnaround for my life, physically, mentally, and spiritually. I road-tripped and hiked my way through California, up into Utah, across New Mexico and Arizona, and in Texas, I hiked with my youngest son. I also went to hiking trails all over North and the South Islands of New Zealand. And ultimately, on my 60th birthday, I spent it with my eldest son and his husband, trekking for 4 days through the Andes and celebrating my 60th birthday after 217,000 passes at the Rainbow Mountains outside of Cusco, Peru. Since then, many things have changed for me. My body composition has changed. I lost 20 pounds during those 180 hikes, a feat I thought I'd never achieve
just buying bigger jeans through the menopause period. I came to know the healing that can happen while you're out hiking on a trail and in Mother Nature. She expects nothing from you and gives everything. And my biggest takeaway in all of this is that connection to nature and how important it is for my life at this point in my life. Looking back after raising my kids and working corporate careers, that I wish I had incorporated that type of activity into my life back then. However, it's never too late. So here I am at 60, now heading towards 61, and I'm looking for more adventure than ever, more places to see, both in country and overseas, hiking my way through life. My ultimate goal is to be like this woman I met on the trail in Bryce Canyon, Ellen. She's 82 and had just done, the day before I met her, Angel's Landing in Zion. And if you've ever done that hike, you'll know, wow, what a feat at any age. But at 82, that's inspirational. And that's my goal for my life, to be active as long as I am alive.
I put out a call for advice for these women's younger selves. I know I thought about myself here too. What can I do now? What can I plan for? What will I look back and regret? What should I not change? Here are some words of advice from women who know.
So, what advice would I give to my younger self? That would be to follow my dreams. I really wanted to be a forest ranger, but my dad told me I would be sitting in a kiosk all day and scrubbing toilets and not being outdoors like the rangers I saw growing up. And I wish I had known about trail crews and other summer work that I could have done. I do lament my youth in this respect. I wish I could be out there living in the wilderness for the summer months, but my body now would not take lifting rocks and logs very well.
When I look back, I wish that I could have told my younger self several things, but one of the most important is that I wish I hadn't worried so much about how long it took me to find and marry the person I really would love. I was 40 when I got married, and it was my first marriage and only marriage. I feel that because I waited so long to get married, not on purpose, but because I hadn't found someone I wanted to marry, I wish that I had known my younger self need not have fretted, that it took me that much time to grow into my best self, really, and I think my husband had an opportunity to grow into his best self as well.
Advice I would give your younger self, don't tell yourself that you can't do it. That's a big thing that comes out of rock climbing too, that so much of what you think you can or can't do is in your head.
My advice to my younger self would be to be more adventurous, to be more courageous, and to not put limits on myself of what I can and cannot do. One of my most recent meaningful experiences was when my friend, who thought her limit to walk was 2 kilometres several years ago, walked over 400 kilometres with me across Portugal and Spain. To share that experience with her was amazing. Walking with just your daily needs and the simplicity of life that walking gives me is something that invigorates me as a person. Through my walking blog, I hope to inspire women of any age, but more so women in their 50s, 60s, and 70s plus, that anything is possible.
My advice to my younger self, or those who are afraid to be in the woods alone, don't go alone. Start off with a group, just as I did, and then work your way to a comfort level. Hike a trail, go in half mile, and hike right back out. You'll get there. I know you will.
If I could give some advice to my younger self, it would be to learn at a younger age. If I could do what I'm doing now in my 50s when I was 20, I would be doing that. In other words, caring for myself, finding things that I love to do, and not so much depending upon a significant other to experience joy in life, especially the outdoors, meeting people and becoming involved with other people, has been really important to my healing from a horrible divorce and making sure that I stay connected to people. I look around at women my age who I know and that are my young adult sons' age, and they're very out of shape, depressed, tired. And so I think it's really important for women of all ages to stay active, to find ways to communicate and socialize with other people. And nature is such a wonderful healing tool for mental health and for self-esteem and self-worth and courage that it takes to really be your true self and to really strive to find your true north. Nature's the place.
I hope all you women over 50 continue submitting your stories for the show, even when the episode isn't specific to age. It's tough. I can't make every episode unique to that. But I hope you'll consider sharing more of your stories or starting a podcast of your own. I have to say that a lot of you did a really good job, and I know there's an audience for it. What a way to keep this community and this momentum going. And if you do decide to start one, let me know if you need any tips. Thank you to everyone who submitted to this episode. I wish I could have included every submission. Particular thanks to the women featured here: Jean Drummond, Joanne Hickey, Cheryl Falkenberg, Joanne Based, Christy, Kathleen Merrick, Liz Wise, Rose Burrows, Trisha, Helen Wallace, Sarah Leffler, Lisa Overill, Gail Story, Lori Brooks, and Diana Stavros. On the landing page on she-explores.com, you'll be able to find links to their Instagrams, blogs, and social media platforms. And you can also see some photos of them out in the outdoors. A couple of news items. So first, an upcoming episode on February 21st is going to bring the Adventure Grapes Book Club, which is a Facebook group, to life. Each month, founder Charlotte Austin picks a book and members of the book club discuss it on Facebook. So on February 21st, I'm going to have Charlotte Austin, the founder of Adventure Grapes, who's a writer, and Shante Salabert, who's also a writer, onto the show. And we're going to be discussing climber Margot Talbot's memoir. It's called All That Glitters, A Climber's Journey Through Addiction and Depression. You don't have to read it to enjoy the episode, but I think it'd be pretty cool if you did. It's a great way to feel part of the conversation. And then another reading note, on the episode that comes out the week before that, I'm going to be talking with author Annette McGivney, who's the writer of Pure Land. It's part memoir, part history book. It's a nonfiction book that, almost like John Krakauer, dives into the heart of a true life mystery story. She dives into the story of a recent murder that took place in the Grand Canyon. She researches the victim. She researches the alleged perpetrator of the murder. And she ends up learning a whole lot about herself along the way. Highly recommended. You don't need to read it for the episode as well, but I think it could add an extra dimension to your listen. Music is by Lee Rosevere, Kay Engel, Josh Woodward, and R. Many Stars. Thank you to our sponsors, Health IQ and Deuter. We're going to be taking next week off, but we'll be back on February 14th, Valentine's Day, to discuss Pure Land with Annette McGivney. Until then, bye.